If you want to know what is really happening in the world today, you need to read the Parsha HaShavua, the weekly Torah reading. Join Rabbi Mendel Lipska for the next hour as he delves and enumerates the themes running through the weekly Torah Parsha, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
And a wonderful good Erev Shabbos to all of you, and it's a very special Shabbos, Shabbos Nachmu, the Shabbos of Consolation. Today begins 7 weeks of consolation, and each week it intensifies with greater and greater joy, with greater and greater blessing, to the point that we hope and pray that the ultimate consolation with the coming of Mashiach will happen very speedily in our time. And as we look at the world today, it seems to be spiraling out of control. Anti-Semitic behavior is rising. Mayors, leaders of countries who once upon a time understood the benefits of decency and goodness are now turning on Israel, our people, in the most horrific way. And one wonders, why is this alarming situation happening? There are no answers. Every time you try to explain, it doesn't seem to help the actual understanding of such bizarre and ugly behavior. And that's why we turn to Torah. We learn to Torah because it gives us clarity, meaning in life. It gives us a sense of purpose and direction. It tells us not to fear these warmongers, these hate mongers, but rather to see a world which can and will be a perfect world. And it's up to us to do whatever we can in order to bring that about. And this comes through the connection with Torah, the study of Torah, the Word of God. Torah is Torah Chaim, as I always say. It's the Torah of life. And because it's a Torah of life, our lives depend upon our connection with the Holy Torah. Shabbos Nachmu, what's that all about? Of course, it's a Shabbos that comes right after Tisha B'Av, the saddest day in the Jewish calendar, yesterday. And how quickly we move into a time of joy. Yesterday was a day of intense sadness. Our prayers, our behavior, we fasted. We went through a visible and meaningful mourning experience, and even part of this morning, but now that it's after midday, all that is gone. And we enter the new dimension of Erev Shabbat, Shabbat Nachmu, that we are entering into a different state of consciousness. And the question is, how can we do that so quickly? How can we move from intense mourning, from sadness, into intense joy? And the answer, of course, is because God gave us the ability of somehow handling two opposites at the same time and moving from one to the other. Of course, it's difficult. Sometimes we begin to wallow in the sadness, and sometimes we begin to overlook the joy. But they are both there. And if they are there, it's a strong indication that we can connect with it in a personal and meaningful sort of way. So as yesterday we mourned, now we rejoice with intense joy. This coming week on Wednesday is the holiday of the 15th of Menachem Av. And our sages in the Talmud tell us that the 15th of Av was of the most important and greatest festivals the Jewish people have. Yom Kippur is one, and Tu B'Av is the other. What's Tu B'Av all about? What's the 15th of Av all about? One answer, of course, it's the full moon. And the full moon symbolizes blessing, wholeness. This full moon symbolizes a sense of perfection. But every month has a full moon. What's so special about the 15th of Av? Of course, it comes after the darkness that we experienced yesterday. We go from a state of darkness to a state of light. And that's instantaneous. To move from darkness to light happens in a moment. It happens in a split second. And this is what happens to us. But not only that. The 15th of Av is a day that we commemorate the repairing of the fragmentation that took place both in the first and second temple. Both temples were destroyed. Destroyed because of the transgressions of the people. The first because of transgressing the three cardinal rules. And the second because of sinat chinam, baseless and senseless hatred of one toward another. Both of these behavior patterns symbolize a concept of fragmentation. We've often spoken that what's the difference between holy and unholy? Within holiness, we look for wholeness, completeness, a sense of synthesis, bringing together different parts and learning to live together as a unit. Whereas the unholy looks for fragmentation, division, separation of people, separation between man and God, separation in everything. We recall the famous conversation between Jacob and Esau when Jacob is on the way back home and Jacob offers Esau a gift. And what does Esau say? I don't need it. I have many things. And Jacob says, I have everything. Many indicates fragmentation. Everything indicates unity. The children of Jacob look for wholeness, synthesis, completeness, to repair that which is broken, to repair that which is fragmented. And how do we do that? How do we repair that which is fragmented? One of the joyous activities on the 15th of Av was that the young maidens of Jerusalem would stand in the public square, sometimes dance in the public square, and the young men would pass by, and the maidens would say either in word or subtly that they should choose for themselves a wife, marriage. This is what the 15th of Av is all about, the time of marriage, a sense of unity. What is marriage? Marriage is repairing fragmentation. Two souls that in the beginning of time were whole and complete, God divided those souls, and those souls drifted off into different areas of life, into different dimensions of life, into different situations. And sometimes takes years for those half souls to come together and complete each other. The sense of marriage, the sense of unity, synthesis, wholeness, oneness. And this is what happened on the 15th of Av. The 15th of Av was a day that celebrated marriage in the most beautiful sense of the word. Not only marriage as some sort of vague concept or some sort of silly romantic concept, but marriage as in the sense of bringing together two separate halves that have been away from each other for a long time, and now they are reunited. And it's a day that symbolizes our ability to connect with each other, to connect with God, and to work at repairing fragmentation within the world. It is a time that each and every one of us must do our best to bring about wholeness, whether it's between man and God, the observance of commandments, mitzvot, to do it with a sense of purpose, to do it with a sense of love, to do it with a sense of joy, whether it's between man and man, to overlook silly foibles, to overlook even serious foibles, but to create a sense of unity within families, within community, within the world, between husband and wife. We are told that Sholom Bayit, the tranquility and holiness and completeness that exists within the Jewish home, is something which is far beyond any type of blissful joy that one can imagine. The type of relationship that brings about a view of the world where one strives for unity within everything. We live in a world of division. That's the type of world God created. There's a division between the material and spiritual, between the body and soul, and very often they're in conflict with each other. On the 15th of Av, we are reminded that we can bring about synthesis, harmony, completeness and holiness, a true sense of unity and purpose. And this is why the month of Av, although containing two extremes, we move from one to the other, and we have the ability of bringing about tremendous positive change within ourselves, within our homes, within our families, within our communities, within the world. More of that soon.
This is the Parsha HaShavua with Rabbi Mendel Lipska, only on 101.9 High FM.
That song you just heard is magnificent and so appropriate at this time because it's within this Parsha of Etchanan that we actually read and are told by Moshe about the great prayer of Shema, Hear, O Israel. But before that, Diskem Wellness Clinic for Adults offers convenient and professional care to help you manage health risks, whether you're having your regular wellness checks such as blood pressure or cholesterol, Dis-Chem Wellness Clinics offers you a broad range of health screening services, including female health screening with Pap smears, family planning, and pregnancy screening. Fast, affordable, and with care. Find your nearest Dis-Chem Wellness Clinic inside Dis-Chem pharmacies, because better health starts here. And also, Thursdays and Fridays mean fresh magic at the Family Bakehouse. Golden Challis, babkas, biscuits, and cakes baked in small batches with no shortcuts. Perfect for Shabbat or the weekend. Find the Family Bakehouse at Genesis or Ox and selected distribution centers. Parsha Etchanan, and what a parsha it is. A parsha that is so full of a great many things, ranging from, well, Moshe continuing to rebuke the people ever so slightly sometimes and sometimes not so slightly. It contains a repetition of the Ten Commandments. It contains the Shema. It contains a message for all generations when your children will grow up years later in a bewildered world and ask you, what is this? What is this Jewishness all about? It's a parsha which is absolutely filled with amazing ideas and concepts. Each one of them has the ability to uplift our lives to a level of far greater awareness and spirituality. But the name of the parsha is Be'etchanan. And what does Be'etchanan mean? Moshe is talking to the Jewish people, and in the book of Devarim, he expresses his feelings, his hopes, his joys, his frustrations, his disappointments. Va'etchanan, he said, I appeal to God to allow me to enter into the promised land. And Va'etchanan has the numerical value of 515. And the sages ask, why? Because Moshe pleaded with God 515 times. And each time was refused. And the question is, what did Moshe keep on asking 515 times? One could understand 10 times, maybe even 100 times, but 515 times? And the answer that our Kabbalists and Hasidic masters tell us is because within prayer, there are 515 levels. And when he came to the 515th level, God said, enough, don't continue. Because prayer will not go beyond this level. And therefore, in a sense, you'll be wasting your time and mine, says God. 515 times. Moshe exhausts the levels of prayer in order to come into the promised land. And the question is, why did he want to go into the promised land? Obvious answer, as we've talked about so many times in the past, was the leadership of Moshe, an unbelievable, unlimited, non-judgmental caring for his people. And he was so concerned that the entry into the promised land might bring challenges which the Jewish people wouldn't be able to face, to live up to. And this is why he felt his presence as the shepherd, the loyal shepherd of the Jewish people, will help them through the crisis of coming into the promised land, going to war, dividing the land, as we read in the book of Joshua. And how sometimes, yes, they did fail because they couldn't face the challenges. Moshe was absolutely concerned that his presence would help. But God said, 515, no more. The word Ve'etchanan means prayer, beseeching, pleading. But Ve'etchanan is, as our commentary Rashi tells us, it's a term that applies, I wanted it out of the absolute choice of God to give into my request. Not because I deserve it, and not because I've earned it. He did deserve it. He did earn it. And had he come to God and said, God, I've been a loyal servant to you and to your people, despite the incredible difficulties, I demand that I receive this gift of God allowing me to go into the promised land. And God certainly would have agreed had Moshe said that. But Moshe did not want to receive a reward, a gift that was the result of his efforts, of his loyalty, of his dedication. He wanted what our sages call matnat chinam. He wanted a gift that comes absolutely from the free will of God, not because there was an overture from the person below. It's like a parent and a child. A parent brings a child a gift because the child did something good. He brought home a good report card. He behaved. He did what a parent expects a child to do and is so joyous that he gives the child a gift. But sometimes the parent, simply out of the goodness of his heart, for his absolute love for his child, not because the child did anything and perhaps didn't even earn it, but the parent gives a gift, matnat chinam, a gift that in a sense is free from any cause other than the will of God, the choice of God to give it to us. And this is what Moshe wanted. Moshe wanted this type of gift, not because he earned it, not because he worked for it, but because he wanted God to give it to him outright. And this is something which is so important for us to understand, because our sages tell us that when a righteous man, a tzaddik, makes a declaration, he demands something, God responds and does what the tzaddik wanted. But not in this instance, because we often ask our question, why is it there are righteous people in the world, righteous people throughout history, great sages, pious men, holy men, men dedicated to the highest levels of Torah and mitzvot? Why can't they simply demand from God that he end the exile, that he bring Mashiach, that he brings light and goodness and revealed purpose to the entire world? And the answer is because they are tzaddikim, because they are in that category of extremely righteous men. They know that that's not the way God wants it to be. He wants each and every one of us to do our part. Not that one individual can demand, but that each and every single man, woman, and child has a purpose in this world. And it's through fulfilling that purpose you bring about whatever it is we pray for, the coming of Mashiach. But more than that, tzaddikim also know, matnas chinam, out of the goodness, so to speak, kaviyachol, of God's love to his people, we ask him in a way that indicates our love toward him and our deep love and respect for him. The portion is full, as I said, with all sorts of very important items. The repetition of the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments happened once. The Jewish people stood at Sinai and saw the revealed presence of God, and God gave them the Ten Commandments, the Torah. And of course, although every part of Torah is absolutely equal, nonetheless, the Ten Commandments somehow stand in a category of its own, God giving the people the Torah. So why does Moshe repeat it now? Why is it necessary to repeat the Ten Commandments? We already read it in the book of Exodus in the Parsha of Yitro. Why repeat it now? And the answer, of course, is because Moshe is speaking to a new generation. He's speaking to a generation that is about to enter into the Holy Land. And while on a deeper level, they might understand and remember, but many of them did not experience the actual physical presence at Sinai. Their souls were there, as all our souls were. But the actual physical experiencing of witnessing God coming down from heaven, so to speak, and giving the Jewish people the Torah, this was a generation that had passed on in the wilderness. It's a new generation. And therefore, Moshe feels compelled to somehow remind them of that incredible experience, to remind them of the time that God connected with the people eternally through the Torah. And this is why he tells them, although you may not remember physically experiencing that incredible, miraculous moment, nonetheless, it affects you as well, because this is the way, through the recommitment to the Ten Commandments and through the Ten Commandments to the entire Torah, you will enter into the land and face the challenges as well as you can. And even though I might not be there, but your connection with Torah, that will protect you on a level that will bring about tremendous, tremendous joy and purpose and fulfillment in your lives, individually and as a people, the new generation. And therefore, when we take a look at the Ten Commandments, even though it's a repetition of the original that we read in the book of Exodus months ago, there are some serious differences between the first Ten Commandments and the second Ten Commandments. I'll mention one. In the first Ten Commandments, we speak about Zachor. Remember the fact that God says, I took you out of Egypt. I brought you to liberation, to freedom. I brought you to a higher level of consciousness. I took you out of physical enslavement. I took you out of bondage and gave you freedom. Not only you are no longer slaves, but you have the freedom that comes with knowing who and what you are. Remember, he says, in the first Ten Commandments. In the second Ten Commandments that we read in this parsha, it says, Shamor, safeguard. Safeguard these things, talking particularly about the mitzvah of Shabbat. And he says, remember the mitzvah of Shabbat, not because I took you out of Egypt, but because I'm talking about creation, how God created, says, 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. What's the difference between observing Shabbat with the Zachor, remembering that he took us out of Egypt, and Shemor, safeguarding the mitzvah of Shabbat through the fact that we understand creation in the 6 days? Remembering is fairly easier than safeguarding. You remember, you recall. And what do you recall? A great moment where God himself came down and took you out of Egypt. He took you out of Egypt and made you a free people, collectively as a people, individually as well. God's action. The second time around, he says, Shamor, safeguard. Now, safeguard comes with diligence, with effort. You have to protect something, and protecting something is a full-time job. And what is it that you have to protect? What is it that you have to do in order to bring about a proper observance of Shabbat? Remember, God created the world. He created the world. Each day he created something else. This is symbolic of each day of the week. As you go through the week, understand that there is a purpose to each day. Yes, you work. It's a time that we have to toil every single day of the 6 days, and then come Shabbos. This is safeguarding. Safeguarding is understanding the concept of time, understanding the purpose of each day, understanding that God created everything with a purpose. And as we go through the week, we understand that our efforts, our work, which is a weekday type of activity, is not fulfillment. It's going through the 6 days correctly, safeguarding our involvement within the world, our interaction with the world, that we engage at a certain level, but not beyond that level, that we come to Shabbat, a day of holiness, a day of greatness, where we have a glimpse into perfection. And that's what Shabbat is all about. We don't work. We sit back and rejoice through prayer, through the joy of Shabbos, through study. Shemor, safeguard. He's speaking to a new generation. The old generation could just remember. The new generation has to work hard in order to safeguard all that is precious and all that is holy. We also find the Shema prayer in this parsha. Now, what is Shema all about? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. God is one. Our God is one. And our sages, again, our Kabbalistic sages, say within this particular statement, we see two dimensions, dimension of faith and dimension of understanding. The two types of relationships that we have with God, understanding elements of God and having faith in elements of God. More of that soon.
This is the Parsha HaShavua with Rabbi Mendel Lipska, only on 101.9 High FM.
We were talking about the Shema and how important it is for us to understand the inner meaning, the inner dimensions of the Shema. It's not only, in a sense, the single most important prayer that we have, but it enables us to fulfill two incredibly important methods through which we serve God, through faith, something which is far beyond our understanding, and also through the idea of understanding. When it comes to Hashem Elokeinu, when it comes to God, our God, that is a dimension of godliness, of spirituality, which is far beyond human understanding. Even with the greatest minds, we cannot really fathom the total essence of Hashem Elokeinu. We need faith. But Hashem Echad, how God interacts with the world, Echad refers to Echad, the Aleph, is the one God. The Chet is the seven heavens and the physical world here. And the Dalet are the four directions of the world, the physical world. This is what we can understand. How God interacts with the world is something that we can't understand. But listen to this, and listen to this, how important it is. Are you looking to reach an engaged, loyal audience? Then you're in the right place. There's no better place to do that than right here on Chai FM. Our listeners tune in every day for music, conversational news that they can trust. When you advertise on Chai FM, you're not just buying airtime, you're becoming part of a community that genuinely listens. Whether you are a small business or an established brand, we'd love to have a conversation with you about how we can work together. WhatsApp us on 061-895-1019. That's 061-895-1019. The Shema, which almost every single Jew knows or should know. Shema, a child, says the Shema. A great, pious, righteous tzaddik, says the Shema. Every one of us calls out to God, Shema Yisrael. It's a prayer of hope. It's a prayer of challenging ourselves to greater hearts, to develop our faith and understanding of God to higher and deeper levels. And this parsha, interestingly, which contains the essence of Torah, the Ten Commandments, and Shema, the essence of prayer, the two pillars upon which the world stands, the third being, actions of loving kindness. It's in the Parsha of Etchanan. Comes right after Tisha B'Av, and before we celebrate the 15th of Av. The Etchanan, when Moshe pleads with God, and he tells the Jewish people, that ultimately it's for the good that I didn't come into the promised land. What is that all about? Isaiah the prophet calls out, Nachamu, Nachamu Ami, console, console my nation, my people. A double consolation. Why the double? Well, one reason, of course, for the first temple and the second temple. But the inner meaning is that it's not two consolations. It's a double consolation. It's one within the other. And something that is doubled, tell us our sages, it's not only twice as strong and twice as powerful, it's infinitely more powerful. Because the Nachamu, Nachamu, the double consolation tells us that not only will you be consoled, in life we have tragedies, we have moments of sadness, and with the passage of time, with the words of kindness from others, we're consoled. But consoled at that level is not complete. The sense of loss is still there. The grief sometimes lasts a lifetime. Nachamu, nachamu means a different type of consolation. Not only will you be consoled in the simple sense of the word, but the consolation will come with an understanding of why you had to go through the tragedy and grief, why you had to go through a difficult time, why you had to experience loss, why you had to experience pain. We often ask the question, why? Why do these things happen? And with the best of our abilities, somehow we can't come to a complete answer. Because within the exile that we live, our minds, our hearts are limited. But Isaiah, the prophet of consolation, the prophet of redemption, says, Nachamu, Nachamu. When the real consolation will come, it'll be a double consolation. Not only will you be consoled, but you will actually understand why it was necessary for you to go through those painful experiences. And it goes beyond that as well. Not only will you understand, but the greatest thing will happen. You'll understand and you will see that it was for good. Not only that you will understand, it'll satisfy your mind, but you'll see that it was for good. It'll satisfy your heart, your feelings, that was a good experience. At the time, it was painful. At the time, it was difficult. At the time, it was challenging. I was troubled. I was bothered by why God would test me in this sort of way. But now I'm consoled and understand. And I go beyond understanding. I see that it is something which is a blessing, something which is good. And this is why Parsha of Etchanan always comes immediately after Tisha B'Av, the first Shabbat, because we need that consolation. When we read in the book of Eicha, which was written by Jeremiah, and in the Kinot, the dirges of what happened to the Jewish people, we know our history, we know our story. We've seen it again and again and again. And we wonder, why? Why would God bring such pain and suffering? The answer is, Nachamu, Nachamu Ami. We can be consoled only up to a point by living with the situation that we have to go through. But at the same time, there will come a moment that we'll understand it fully and will rejoice in the fact that He gave us the gift of going through those experiences. It was for the ultimate good, for our true benefit. And this is what Isaiah is told by God. Go and speak, talk to Lev Yerushalayim, the heart of Jerusalem. Why the heart of Jerusalem? Why not the mind of Jerusalem? Why the heart? Because the heart is where feelings are. And it's at that level that real consolation comes. Yes, there's the consolation of the mind, which is incredibly great when we understand things. But the consolation of the heart, that's a completely different level of consolation. And as the prophet tells us elsewhere, that when Mashiach will come, the Almighty will remove our heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh. What does that mean? In exile, we have a heart of stone. Our feelings are confused. It becomes coarsened by our experiences within the physical world and allowing ourselves to be influenced and to take joy in the coarseness of the physical world. God will take away that coarse heart and replace it with a gentle heart, with a sensitive heart, a heart that feels good at all times. Every single experience brings it calmness, brings it joy, brings it purpose. And this is what he says, speak to the heart of Jerusalem. And going back to the Shema, why do we have to have faith in God, trust in God, understanding God? Well, I have to love God. And when we serve with love, it's altogether different than when we serve with fear. When we serve with fear, sages give the example of a person who works for his master. If he works for fear, there'll come a moment that he'll simply say, enough is enough. I can't handle this anymore. Walk away. But love intensifies. Doesn't matter how intense the love is. We accept it with joy, with great desire. Ba'ahavta. Learn to serve God with love. Ve'etchanan. This great parsha, the great parsha of consolation, Ten Commandments, the Shema. When you are in shul tomorrow, Shabbat Nachamu, and you should be in shul tomorrow, listen to this parsha. Listen to every word. Fascinating. Generally, the book of Devarim is fascinating. It's the words of Moshe. But this parsha in particular, listen to the plea of Moshe 515 times. Listen to the Ten Commandments. What is it saying to us? How is it addressing us? Why is it different? Listen to the Shema, a prayer that we're all familiar with. It's a parsha which is so full. And as I always say, there will be something that will speak to you, that will resonate with you. And perhaps one of the things that will resonate with you, as it should with all of us throughout history, is when your child asks you in a bewildered way, what's it all about? And you can answer. You can answer because you've taken the time to listen to the Torah, to understand the Ten Commandments, to understand the Shema, to reach out, to understand faith, to understand understanding. This is what this parsha is all about. Take advantage of this parsha. It's an incredible parsha, a parsha which is so full. Each and every word contains incredibly infinite dimensions of truth, of joy, of direction, of purpose. Take advantage. Have a good Shabbos Lachamu.